Wednesday night, I taught on being led by the Spirit of God, which is really where we are, because God leads us and guides us. If you, I don't hear an audible voice from God. It's not like I walk around and hear an audible voice from God, but I regularly hear in my spirit and receive direction from the Holy Spirit through my spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. So the only way you could know you were saved is if God spoke it to you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my spirit did. His spirit reveals to us. He reveals things to us. Our first initial revelation is of our salvation. And when you've received salvation, man, nobody can beat that out of you. You know that you know that you know that you know, and that didn't come by a physical revelation. It comes through a spiritual revelation. It comes, his spirit bears witness with your spirit, you're the sons and daughters of God. Now, God doesn't just want to lead us into eternal things. It's not just eternal things. God said he would lead us and guide us and direct our paths. He would order our steps. He would lead us and guide us into truth. He would show us things to come. So God wants us to walk in divine revelation. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, amen. You can be led. You can be led in your business life. This morning, I had a sense of a direction God wanted to go. I had a knowledge that God revealed to me things to do, how to do that. What to do to move in that direction, because his spirit let me know. I sensed it. I knew it. I've become more and more sensitive. I'll tell you the first time it ever happened to me. This may sound crazy, because I think if you're going to grow in God, you've got, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And he wants to lead you in every area of life. I wish, how many know that Jesus said he didn't do anything that his Father didn't tell him. He didn't say anything that his Father didn't say. Now, that means that he was walking in that divine revelation. He was the Word. You and I have the Word, but God wants to take that Word and make life out of that Word. That it's not just written pages, it's life. It lives in us. And we have not only a Logos Word, that's the written Word, but we also have a Rhema Word, a Word spoken by God. You know, it says, by Jesus Christ we're healed. There's a difference between it's just words on a page and it becomes revelation to me. When I know, not only does it say I'm healed, but I know I'm healed. I have a revelation. I got it. I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm healed. It becomes revelation. Salvation became that way. You have that revelation on the inside of you, but God wants to reveal all of your life to you. So one day, I'm at the house. I must have been 19, maybe 18 or 19 years old, maybe a little older. And my sister and I were living together in a place in Bartow, Florida. And so we're down there, and all of a sudden, you remember, how many remember the days I had an AT&T cordless phone? How many remember them days? You remember before we had cordless phones, we had cords that were like 100 feet long. Do y'all remember those days? Anybody remember that? And you'd walk, and you'd stretch it around the house, and if you wanted to hide, you had to close doors, and then you'd have to open the door to get a little longer. Then they brought out those cordless phones, and they had an antenna that reached the roof. Tick, 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 tick. You remember them days? And the battery in the phone was as big as your head. Now, these kids have no idea. They got wafer-thin phones, and I mean. But there was a day, folks, when I tell you, you young people listen to, there was a day when you walked around with something that barely fit in your hand. Well, that's what I had. I had an old AT&T base phone with one of those antennas. And the batteries had gone dead. It would not work. I needed to use the phone. My sister and I were fighting over the phone. She done wore the phone out. I think she broke the battery in the phone. And it wouldn't work. And so I'm praying, God, I need this phone. It was a moment of desperation. I think, you know, I mean, there are times that you just go buy a battery, right? Or fix your phone. But this was one of those moments I couldn't do that. Have y'all ever been on the road and got to E and didn't mean to? Then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You knew you could go buy some gas, but you forgot. And now you're out in the woods and you got to get from A to B. And you're like, Jesus, you know Jesus at that moment. Everybody falls in love with Jesus at that moment. I mean, you got faith like the grain of a mustard seed. Jesus, just get me to the next gas station. And you roll up in there and get you some gas. That's how I was with this phone. I had to have this phone. And I'm like, Lord, I got to have this phone. I'm desperate. And the Lord said to me, put the battery in the freezer. That's what I heard. Put the battery in the freezer. I'm only 18, 19 years old. Now, remember, y'all might know how to do that now. There might be some scientific something, something, or you read something in some journal somewhere. But back then, they wasn't no journal. Put the battery in the freezer. At first, I thought, that is about nuts. I did. And so I argued with it a little bit. And then I thought, well, what I got to lose? So I took the battery out the phone and put the battery in the freezer. Waited for a few minutes, took the battery out of the freezer, put it back in the phone, and do you know it worked? That phone came alive. That phone started working. Now, I don't know that the freezer had anything to do with that battery. I have no idea. Maybe it did. Maybe it did some type of transformational thing. But I do know this. My obedience to God's word translated into an overcoming moment. My obedience to God's word. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say put your battery in the phone. I wish I could find that. It's not there. But I know that God said he wants my phone fixed. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's good, right? The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. All things are possible to him that believes. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. So I have the general knowledge of God. I've got this general knowledge. I've got God wants me blessed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. He wants me blessed in the field, blessed in the city, blessed coming in, blessed going out. I'm the head, not the tail. I got tickled last week. We had a young lady that she put on Facebook, she's not heads, she's not the tails, she's the heads. Y'all didn't get that. She's not the tails, she's the heads. Sometimes we forget we've got jargon in church, amen? I know that's word, but we probably should explain that a little bit more. I'm the head, and I'm not the tail. I know that's the general will, but I need the plan. I need the plan of how I'm going to be better in life. How does my phone work? I'm desperate. I need the phone to work. I want you to look at somebody. I want you to say, you were designed. You were designed for greatness. God designed you that way. He designed your life for greatness. He designed you to live in greatness. And this scripture gives us an insight into how I can live in greatness. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now turn over in Ephesians 5. Wherefore be ye not unwise. So you could be unwise. It's an unwise thing to operate in something here. So it says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Many people in this room are praying, God, I need your will. I want to know your will. Show me your will. Lord, give me your will. And we pray this prayer, and it's an incorrect prayer because God has already given us his will. How many know his word is his will? Amen. Nothing you will ever hear from God will ever violate the word of God. It will be founded on, stable on, consist in the word of God. Though an angel come and share something with you, if it does not line up with the word of God, it is not God. Amen. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Amen. And so he said that we can know what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine where is an excess. This is not for me to give you an argument and for us to start a diatribe on whether it's okay to drink. That's not what this is about. This is instead telling us a more appropriate approach to life. It's telling us that there's a natural thing that changes your mind. Drinking changes and alters you as a person. You're not in your right mind. You become inebriated. You become affected. You become altered by this particular thing. And he says that this is an approach. Be not drunk with wine where is an excess. Don't approach through natural change. Don't try to alter yourself through natural things. And he likens this, and and then he says this. He says, where is an excess? But be filled with the Spirit. Notice he didn't say sip it. Come on, there's no sipping saint in the Holy Ghost. Come on. He says be full. That's what I wanted you to have this morning. See, I came here full. Y'all have to understand, that's why I can worship the way that I do. I came here full. Full means that I don't have, listen, full means there's no room for more. I can't have indulgences of the world because I've filled up on God. I've gotten so connected with God and so deeply enthralled in Him and so deeply in love with Him and so committed to Him that everything revolves around Him. In Him I live, I move, and I have my being. I'm full. I live, I move. Some people, they have a part of God, a portion. They're sort of full, they're semi-full. The Bible says being, and then it doesn't say just be full. The actual rendering of this in the original text says be continuously or be being full. If you know anything about being saved, it leaks. Don't look at me funny. It leaks. You got to fill up every day. Sometimes you got to fill up by the minute. Amen. That's right. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Go to a good red light. Let somebody cut you off. You're going to drain just a little. Come on. When you're at work and all them folks is fussing and giving you a hard time and you got to deal with the person in the next cubicle, you leaked a little bit. Amen. Come on. When you went on Facebook yesterday and saw how they were talking about you, and there ain't nothing worse than somebody talking about you, but they won't put your name in there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know that's you they talking about. You know, well, why don't you just say it, you coward? I'm preaching real good right now. You leaked a little. And so you got to keep and constantly and all the time be being filled with the Spirit. Now that's the will of God. That's the will. Do you see it? Be not unwise, knowing what the will of God is. Be being full of the Spirit. Now let me tell you this, what I preached on Wednesday. When you're in the will, the plan comes. See, many people are praying for the will of God and they've missed it. You're to be in the will of God. You're not praying for the will of God. You are to exist. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done. When we exist in that full place, then the plans of God come out of that fullness. You have to make an effort to be full. Just like you would pick up a glass and drink it, you would have to drink of the Holy Spirit. This morning, you were afforded an opportunity to drink of the Spirit. At home, you should be putting on. He said we're to sing. The Bible says that we singing and making melody in our hearts. You ought to have a song. You ought to be singing and worshiping and spending time with God. When you're washing them dishes, I'm bro, so, I mean, you ought to get... I wish somebody understood what I'm talking about. When you're on the treadmill, glory to His name. All right,
yes, that's good.
When you're driving in the car, let the rain of your Spirit, just don't get so drunk you drive off the road. And you can get there. How many know what I'm talking about? I can get so over in God, I feel like I've left the planet. Amen. Some of you have never experienced this because you've never afforded yourself of the depth of God. You're still trying to live with a portion of God, a piece of God, a little bit of God. And so, and then it says this in Jude 1:20. It says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So how do I fill myself? That's right, you pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, we pray. Paul said, I thank my God I pray with tongues more than you all. Meaning that he prayed to stay full, to stay built up, to stay full of God. And I want you to hear this. Every time, now listen, we hear from God from His Word, and we hear from God from His Spirit. Everything we need is from the Word of God and from His Spirit. Amen? Every time you do what God commands, it results in a breakthrough. Every time you do what God commands, it results in a breakthrough. You remember the water pots? Whatever He tells you to do, do it. Your breakthrough is in your obedience to the commands of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Can anybody see what I'm talking about? So here's what I want to say to you. I command in Jesus' name that as you obey God in your life, there'll be no more setbacks. Look at somebody and say, I shout out, no more setbacks. No more setbacks in your life. No more setbacks in your career. No more setbacks in your marriage. No more setbacks in your home. No more setbacks in your children. I command it in Jesus' name. I speak over you that as you obey God's word, that setbacks become setback for you. You don't have to worry about it no more. There ain't no backwards in God. We're just moving on forward. Did you know there's not one armor for the back of a person? The armor is always in front. You know why the armor is in front? Because you're always pressing on from glory to glory to glory. Christians are going up. They're going forward. They're going deeper. They're going higher. They're going further. I wish somebody would shout out, I'm going higher.
Yes. Amen.
You believe that, don't you? There's no retreat. We're not going backwards. I don't need a rear guard. God is my rear guard. If God be for me, who can be against me? Somebody shout out. From glory to glory. No more setbacks. Don't get caught up and connected with natural thinking. Look at somebody and say, don't get caught up and connected with natural thinking. Proverbs 4:18 says this, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto a perfect day. God has perfect days in front of you. God has a future where there are no more dark spots. I wish somebody would shout out, no more dark spots. I say this over you. I commanded it, no more dark spots over your life. No more dark spots going forward. No more setbacks. No more dark spots. So we don't believe in those. We don't agree with those. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? I just resist the right for a dark spot and a setback to come to my life. I resist its right to exist in my life, in my experience. Today, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying, because right there where you're sitting, I hope some of you are saying this to yourself. You're right, Pastor Steve. No more dark spots and no more setbacks. See, if you're getting what I'm saying, every encounter with the Word of God leaves a lasting effect and an impact to the receiver. Every time we encounter, whether it be the Logos or the Rhema, it leaves a lasting impact in our lives. You can touch Jesus by faith, and whatever touches Jesus by faith cannot remain the same. Whatever touches Jesus in faith cannot remain the same. No matter what it is, it cannot remain the same. It is not your environment that determines your destiny. It's your stand in truth.
Amen. That's good. Yes.
Your destiny is the product of your stand in truth. Psalms 91:7 says, 1,000 will fall at my right side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. You see, others may be jobless, not you. Others might go bankrupt, not you. Others may go down in a slump. Other businesses may shut down, but not yours. I wish somebody would shout out amen. Other ventures may go down, but yours isn't going to go down. Somebody might be in this room and say, well, you don't understand, Pastor Steve. Just the other day, they announced cutbacks and layoffs. I have never seen the righteous. I have never. I don't care what God's got to do and what has to change in this life. I don't care if he got to make a new job. Listen, I had a man in this church. His name was Jerry. He had 5 stents put in his heart. I was at the hospital the morning he had those 5 stents put in his heart. And he was in his 50s, mid to late 50s. And he had been a fitter, like he was working on, he would work on those big machines that made paper and stuff. And he would work those cutters and blades and things. And the business that he was with here in town was floundering. There was some kind of something going on with it, and they decided to shut the entire thing that he worked for down. And I remember he was so worried. He came to me and said, "Pastor Steve," he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got 5 stents in my heart." This is back when, you know what I'm talking about, when insurance was a real issue. You remember a few years back, if you had 5 stents in your heart, it's fine. That was really hard to find a job because nobody wanted to hire your insurance risk. Somebody ought to shout out amen. I mean, there were some serious challenges for folks. And then he was also in his 50s, close to retirement age. And here he was struggling. He's now been fired from the job because the job closed down. And he said, "Pastor Steve, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do. This is a specialized job. What am I going to do?" And I remember the panic in his wife. But I said to him, I said, "Let me tell you something. The word of God doesn't lie." How many know God is not a man that he should lie?
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, "God don't lie."
Amen.
And I told him, "We're going to sow some seed together. You're going to come and sow some seed with me." Because the Bible says that the sower, he gives seed to the sower. I said, "So we're going to operate the word of God. We're going to come. We're going to do what God's word says." And he started coming to the church, started sowing some seed up here at the church. He'd come and just do stuff around the church, come work. He gave his time. All of a sudden, from Mississippi, a lady found out that he no longer worked for this company and had decided to open that business. Called him up. Hired him for more than what he was making before, paid all of his insurance, and built the company here. You can say whatever you want to, but I watched a man that was faithful. I watched a man that operated the word of God. I watched a man that decided, "I'm going to trust God, and that though I don't care what comes, if God be for me, it does not matter what's against me." Before he missed a paycheck, before he missed one day of insurance, God built a new business right here. And if God will do it for Jerry, God will do it for you. Nothing is impossible with God. Just look at somebody and say, "Nothing is impossible for God. He will never leave me, and he will never forsake me."
Hallelujah.
See, I'm getting to preach now. See, I'm starting to preach now. I'm about to run. I'm about to take off. I feel like I'm going to. Some folks just know about God. Some of us know God. Somebody knows. He'll open prison doors. He'll shut the mouth of lions. He will part the Red Sea. He'll cause you to walk across on dry ground. He'll keep you from being burnt by the fire. Oh, somebody shout. I serve an awesome God. Oh, I serve an awesome God. I serve a God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask or think. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Say it. Can't nobody. Well, he's my friend. I gotta finish. I gotta go bike riding. Come on, come on. That's what I'm telling you. I don't want no religious formation. See, the Bible says they'll come in one day and they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power. From such turn away. I'm headed in the other direction, baby. I'm going toward God. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him in the power. In the power of his resurrection. I don't want to just go through the ritual. I'm watching God transform your life, Howard. I'm watching how God's taking you from I was there when you were down here. I was there when you were saying, I don't know how we're going to make it. Oh, and I watched God come through financially. I watched God come through in your body. I watched God turn to, and now he's about to turn around your hips and your knees. God's about to do, look, if God be for you, Howard, it doesn't matter who came against you. It doesn't matter how you got here. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. God's good. He was good yesterday. He's good today. And he will be good tomorrow. You might be new here and you say, well, I don't know about all that yelling. Why has he got to yell like that? Because it's coming up out my spirit. I can't help it. I don't know why you ain't yelling. That's the problem. I can't understand how somebody could sit there with a God who loves us and cares about us, who took care of our children and watched us on the road and kept them on the football field, made sure they came home on Monday. Having a covenant mentality and a biblical mentality, standing on truth no matter what. We must have a covenant mentality and a biblical mentality and stand on truth no matter what. We must have a covenant mentality and a biblical mentality and stand on truth no matter what. God's revelation to me about finances came. I was talking to Pastor Reggie about this last week. I was with him on Wednesday. And I remember I had started working at the church. And I was the music director. This is why I said this Wednesday for those of you. I was the music director at the church. And I wasn't paying attention to my money. And I remember one day, Pastor Reggie, in a very loving and caring way, he came to me and said, Steve, come to my office. I always knew what that meant. And so I sat down, and he had this great big book. Flop. And he puts his finger on my page. Whips it around and says, how do you expect to be blessed? I looked at that tithe record, and I tell you now, I about fainted. Not because Pastor Reggie saw it, because I knew God saw it. And I looked at that. It wasn't that I didn't believe in tithing. I believed in tithing. Been taught tithing. It wasn't that I didn't want to tithe or whatever. I simply had not put God in his proper place. I had not made him the trust of my life. I had not obeyed him. You remember at the beginning of this, I told you that every time you obey a command of God, it results in a breakthrough. I had stopped up and stopped the channel of blessing in my life because I was not willing to obey the command of God. He didn't say that to me because he didn't like me. He said that to me because he wanted to see me blessed. That's why when I preach this stuff, it isn't because I want to run you out of church. I'm not trying to damage your ego and hurt your feelings. So I'm hoping that you'll hear truth and realize, listen, if I obey that truth, I can walk in the blessings of the truth. I got a revelation. I left his office and I went to a room. I got down on my face before God for what seemed like, I don't know, a long, long time. I wept before the Lord. Wept before God. Oh, Father, forgive me. I didn't put you first. God, forgive me that you were not in your proper place. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I got serious with God. When I got up from there, I realized that from that day to this, I had decided. See, from that day to this, I've never missed my tithes. Except for this morning with it in my pocket. Oh, we haven't taken it up yet. Praise God. It would have made it in there anyway. I promise you. We'd have chased somebody down. But I made up my mind to get in covenant with God. To follow the Bible. And in doing such, I guaranteed that I would never be broke another day in my life. Because God is not a man that he should lie. I guaranteed that I would put God to the test. Are you truthful or are you a liar? You look at me and say, what? He said, put me to the test. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to tithe. You better show up. I said it with love. I love the Lord. I wasn't being rude to God. But he said it. I was testing it. You truthful or you a liar? And you know what? God has never lied to me yet. I haven't missed one thing. I go on vacations. I have plenty. I was thinking about how blessed I am. Because I have been faithful to be obedient to the word of God and stay committed to the covenant and to the biblical mentality. This is my post for the day. Don't let what you see affect what God says. Man, that's a mouthful. Don't let what you see because what he says rules the world. Not what you see, what he says. What you believe, when you believe in what he says, you will live above what you see. I walk by faith and not by sight. When you believe what he says, you will live above what you see. Amen. When you believe what he says, you will live above what you see. Let the settled word settle you. Wow. Let the settled word. How many know it is never going to change? Not one jot, one tittle. God didn't say one thing he didn't mean. He didn't mean one thing he didn't say. He said it all. Everything. When he said it's finished, he meant it is finished. If the word is settled, then let the word settle you. Let the settled word settle you. Every aspect of your life is ordained for fruitfulness. That you may bear more fruit. Every aspect of your life is ordained for fruitfulness. There should be no barrenness in your life. I would shout that. I will be barren no more. There should be no barrenness. Nowhere in your life should there be barrenness. You see, I pray you have an encounter with the Word today. What I'm saying, because that Word will bring life and light to you. Whatever word you receive and believe, you have the power to become. Whatever word you receive and believe, you have the power to become. First John or John 1:12. For as many as received him, what? The word. For as many, I'm almost done. For as many as received the word, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The word. Even to them that believed on his name. When you receive the word and believe the word, you have the power to become the word. That's why when I preach this stuff, I can't hold back to tell you about righteousness. I can't hold back to tell you about how to live. Because if you'll receive that word, you have the power to become it. When we don't share that word, we take away the power to become the word. If I don't share on healing, I subtract healing from your abilities. If I don't preach on the Holy Spirit, you'll not be able to be filled with him the way you could be or the way we should be in this church. If I don't push for that, because you'll only become what you hear. Faith comes by and hearing by. So when you hear the word, when you properly position yourself in the covenant of God's word, you'll be able to command the circumstances of your life. Nothing can stop the sun from shining or the moon from shining. Not a natural situation. Why? Because God declared it. God's declaration over the sun and the moon is the same one he declared over you. And if you accept and receive his declaration, just like the sun and the moon can't stop shining, nor can you stop glowing in God. There is nothing impossible with God. There are no impossibilities in the word. That's what that says. That means that every time you find the word on any subject, you receive it and believe it, then you become over it. You must find the word. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, and let them be in the midst of thy heart. They are life to those that find them. And health to all the flesh. It didn't say they're life to those that read them. It did not say it's life to those that study them. It said they're life to those that find them. There's a difference between reading the word or hearing it and not really. See, that hearing and hearing is two words. One is information. The other is what gets in your heart. Every time he reveals his word to you, it translates into life in any area that the word addresses. I'm going to read that one more time. Every time he reveals his word to you, it translates into life in any area that the word addresses. When you become confident, it's just like what happened with me with this. That day, I made up my mind I would never fail God here. The devil challenged that. The devil came to find out, did I believe what I said I believe? Did I really believe it? And I had to make some serious choices. To say, I don't care what comes. When it comes financially. And you know what I found out? What I had to do? What I just had to do? I couldn't wait till the end of the check. I just had to decide I was going to take it out before he could have a chance to get at me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then I was believing him at the end of the check, God, to come through for me instead of taking what belonged to God to pay for what the devil took from me. I wish somebody heard what I'm saying. I have a covenant with God. My covenant is, my God, I can never be broke. I can never be poor another day in my life. Or God's a liar. Yeah. I wish somebody heard what I just said. And he's not a liar.